This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, Lori Leshman is going to be here to talk about the Waukesha South Cookie Walk.
Ooh.
They're raising money for the band out there, and you have a chance to pick up some very tasty treats tomorrow, and she's going to be here to tell us all about it. And so if you live in the Waukesha area, this is a great way to pick up some holiday treats and at the same time help support the band program. So stick around for that. We will wrap up the show as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Thanks, I'll Pass edition.
Ugh.
There's going to be a visual component that we will include in the show notes because you really got to see it to believe it. But while we're talking about Tisbat, Greg Bach,
yeah,
we would like to put together a best of for New Year's Eve Day.
Yes.
Tisbat best of. So we're going to take your suggestions as to your favorites.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to compile our favorites as well.
Exactly.
And we're going to have, like, you know, a little bit of a countdown.
Exactly.
And then maybe, you know, Viewer's Choice Award. Calvin will have the special Sweet Cal B Award for Audio Excellence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're just going to keep on making up categories.
Awards. And yeah. We'll just give ourselves more awards.
Every single one will get an award.
Of some kind or another.
Exactly.
But we would love your suggestions. And if you're like, there have been so many Tisbats, how could I possibly pick my favorite one? There's an easy way they can rectify that.
Simply go to civicmedia.us, hit the shows tab, go to Matinair on Air, and within the confines of our show notes or our show page is also a separate page for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You could also download that as a podcast.
Every day.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
We love you.
So send your nominations to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Give us a couple of weeks to put together our best of Tisbats for New Year's Eve Day. We are joined every Friday at this time by the creator of the Recombobulation Area, and he is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
You missed the note. We were going to be Maroon 4, and now because you're the only one who's not wearing the right color, we're Maroon 3.
You okay over there? It's Sweet Cal B in the Maroon 3.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
But I didn't get the memo.
I don't know how you got skipped on that.
We typed it out and put it in the mimeograph, so that's probably why we didn't send it social media or on, like, you know, LinkedIn.
Next time, Cal, we'll make sure we're all in the same color. Dan, we wanted to start off with talking about the decision about Act 10. Dane County judge says, yep, that's not constitutional. So were you surprised by that?
I was surprised. The news came across, so I was like, wait, what? What's going on? This is happening now? And yeah, I think, you know, so I think we wanted to talk about some of the biggest stories of the week here in our Friday recombobulation segment. And I think the overturn of Act 10, I think if you're looking at Wisconsin political news this week, that is certainly the biggest development we've seen. But I think when the news came across, I'd be curious to see what you guys' reaction was too. But like when I saw the news come across that, you know, this Dane County Judge Jacob Frost in a ruling ruled that collective bargaining rights of public employees in Wisconsin would be restored through ruling that Act 10, most of Act 10 was unconstitutional. Maybe I'm cynical, but my reaction was just like, okay, well, this is just the next step in this getting tied up in the courts. Right. Like it's going to be appealed.
It's going to be this.
And so I've been trying to figure out over the course of the week, like, is this something that's going to stick or is this something maybe not really worth celebrating? And after having a couple of conversations with people over the week, I was just like, I think it is maybe a little bit more sticky than maybe my cynical initial reaction suggested.
I I mean, first of all, I don't think it's cynical to say it's going to get stuck up in the courts. I think that's just what's going to happen. That's not cynical. That's realistic. But I think it's worth celebrating because this is the first step towards action. Now, it might not, at the end of the day, go where we want because in 2025, we have another Supreme Court justice race. And who knows what Robin Voss will do next? I don't know. But I think this is cause for maybe not celebration, but definitely cause for excitement. That's how I felt. Because even if it gets stuck in the courts, because that's the thing is, this has been enshrined in our books for so long, you kind of forgot all the things that go into it. And one of the major things that I totally forgot over time was the fact that they looked at, and I equated this on Pat's show with gerrymandering, which is they looked at all the unions and they said, okay, so you guys are good. You get all of your collective bargaining. You get everything we had before. You're good. Mm-hmm. And then all you people over here knew. Yeah.
And that line was who who endorsed Scott Walker.
Exactly. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So to look at it and say like, well, it just doesn't make sense. It's like either I don't want this to be the case. The judge can say, look, you all lose collective bargaining rights or you all get them.
Right.
If there's equality and equity within it, that's more settling for me than this thing of like, well, we know you guys vote for us, so you guys get to keep what you like versus the other ones like we're not only going to take away your rights as teachers to collectively bargain. We are going to, for the next over a decade, make you the public cancer of the people. Like you teach our children, but we will make sure you get no respect.
The way that they demonized our teachers after I will never forgive that.
And it's become a mainstay thing though. That's the problem too. The attitude towards teachers was like, you're takers and you're profiting with your 1991 Honda Sonatas. And that is something that's become ingrained in people's minds now that teachers are just lazy takers, horrible, just phoning it in till pension day.
Which is so interesting because I thought there were lessons learned during lockdowns in COVID when parents had to take over the education of their children. Did we not gain any appreciation during all of that for our teachers and the jobs that they do?
I know every time that I have to, you know, like I'm coaching my daughter's basketball team this year and coaching a group of like 10 kids for an hour. It makes me really think like, oh, wow, they are taking care of 30 kids for the whole day, every day. These people are woefully undercompensated.
Without a doubt.
In so many ways. But just getting back to the public policy of it all, like conservatives this week have been talking about, you know, oh, this, you know, if we're overturning Act 10, it's going to cost so much money. It's going to do this and that and whatever. And it's just like, well, you know, if you actually believed in this policy as a public policy and not as something to cripple your political adversaries, you would do it across the board. You would do it for police and fire and people in public safety as well. Because if the goal is to save money and whatever, you need to do it across the board. But like, look, one of the biggest fights and legislative battles that we've had over the past couple of years was over shared revenue and local government funding. So clearly Act 10 was not the end all be all of saving local governments money. The fact that we had to go back and the formula was broken and it's still underfunded in a lot of ways. We're still seeing, you know, there was a thing out of Waukesha just this past week where their county board passed a resolution saying that we need to revisit how we're receiving shared revenue from the state government as well. So,
well, aren't they going to hold a referendum now in Brookfield?
Yes,
exactly. Like one of the wealthiest communities in the state is going to have to hold a referendum to fund basic public services.
And going back to what you were saying with the savings of money, I believe the Journal Sentinel went back and looked and it was true that the state did save money because they pushed more of the pension payments onto the teachers. But like you just said, and I think that's something that I didn't even think about too before earlier this week, is that if you're not doing it for all, then it doesn't make sense. And I can't remember who it was tweeted, said that we had saved so much money on Act 10 when asked publicly on Twitter, well, where's your proof on that? She responded, this is a Wisconsin legislator. She just responds with leadership.
What?
That's not an answer.
Yeah. No. And the number I keep hearing getting thrown around is $16 billion. We saved $16 billion because of Act 10.
It is a nonsense number.
Where is that money?
They are pulling that number from a study from the McIver Institute, which is not a credible source for anything. And like the Wisconsin Policy Forum has dug into this. Political Fact has dug into this. It is not a credible number. So, you know, and they are just like, this is what the right wing groups do. They have these institutes. They have these academies. They have these different things that will provide them the BS numbers to advance their ridiculous, unpopular and damaging public policy.
And I think one of the best ways to equate that is I make widgets and I find a research company to tell how great my widgets are after they put them through safety standards, and you want my widgets, courtesy of the company I hired to tell you how great my widgets are.
Yeah. It makes me want to start a my own institute, the Institute for Recombobulation Studies.
Yes.
So that I can just like pluck numbers out of nowhere and just be like, look at our study. Our study says.
Found this. This is what we found.
Exactly.
I think it was Dasani Water put out some sort of thing saying, we have been studied by an institute for how good our hydration is. And it was owned by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It's come on. Just, I mean, anytime an institute, and this is on the left too. Like when the left has institute numbers, I'm like, okay, let's just, but like, I love their names, the McIver Institute or anything for liberty or freedom or
America First.
America First, individuals only.
America First, Liberty International.
Yeah. It's, you know, the conservative brain trust is just three institutes in a trench coat. You know?
You trying to get in this R-rated movie?
Mark, I see you on the line. We are kind of up against the clock. We'll take you right when we get back. We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, also Civic Media's political editor. The conversation continues. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Calvin and Maroon 3 coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. What's wrong?
Sweet Cal B and Maroon 3.
Okay, I'm fine. Can name the band anything you want.
The radio-only listeners are going to be confused by this. We're all wearing maroon clothes.
That's what's going on, yes. Jane and Greg and Dan Schaefer is here, political editor for Civic Media and also, of course, the author of The Recombobulation Area. Right before we went to break, we were talking about Act 10 getting overturned by a Dane County judge. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been very patient. Good morning, Mark. What did you want to say?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, when Act 10 went through, I don't know how much that cost me in terms of, you know, having to pay more for toward my pension, which that should have been included. That was included as part of the total compensation for employees back, tracing back to the 80s when the government could not afford to pay any raises at that time. So it said, we'll pay the employee share toward the pension. That so that cost a lot of state employees a lot of money, And the fact of the matter is, then that money did not get spent by those state employees in the economy. So I don't know what the economic impact of that was, decreasing the amount of money spent in the economy by, you know, public employees. And it is, you know, and Scott Walker said, oh, he saved so much money. And, of course, you've just been pointing out that there is no absolute sign that they actually saved as much money as they did. It was simply to cripple the unions and to cripple the money going to the Democratic Party, is typically what the, you know, the unions supported during the time, because, of course, you support the people that support you, and that's why they did it. I mean, the Scott Walker did it for himself and thought he was going to propel him to the presidency.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
Remember, that Scott Walker never did show up, you know, when the people were singing in the Capitol, because I never saw his ugly face when I was in the Capitol singing.
You mean Mr. Unintimidated? The name of his fabulous book that that the Scott Walker Foundation says is one of the best reads of all time. I'm just throwing that out there. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you checking in. Thank you for listening, as always. Let's move on to Eli Lilly, which is just announced what, another 750 jobs they're going to be expanding in Kenosha.
Yeah, this is a big story.
It is.
This is, you know, so the announcement yesterday was that Eli Lilly was going to be they announced a $3 billion expansion in Kenosha County with 750 new jobs. So this is a big deal. I was at this event last night in Milwaukee, this Meet the Media event at the Newsroom Pub, and I ran into my old editor who I used to work at Biz Times Milwaukee. I used to do a lot of business news reporting. Ran into my old editor, Andrew Weiland, and he had tweeted something about this, and I asked him about it. He said, this is the biggest business story of the year in southeastern Wisconsin. Yep. And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, Tony Evers is there announcing this, Republican Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman was there. Like, this is a really big deal for the region. And I think this is, you know, just continues a lot of success that companies have had, that the Wisconsin has had, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and whatnot has had in bringing more businesses to Kenosha County, you know, right in the middle of, right in between Milwaukee and Chicago. You got a lot of different, you know, markets to draw from there. I think they're going to start needing to build some more housing in Kenosha County because of all of these jobs that these projects are creating.
Well, and I would also think that these are going to be relatively good paying jobs. Unlike Foxconn, the seventh wonder of the world.
Okay, hey, whatever. It's a big round dome. Yeah. Give it up.
Okay.
Don't speak ill of the orb.
Don't diss the orb.
It's watching us. I live in Kenosha right now, and they are building warehouses hand over fist. And it's really developing in that area. And it's really perfectly located because, I mean, I live 20 minutes from the border, and you have a lot of access to a lot. I mean, there's access to water. There's access to freeways. And if, you know, the higher-ups need something in Chicago, it's not far away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So between the Microsoft development this year and the Eli Lilly development, I always wonder where I live, what's it going to look like in 20, 30 years? Because since in the past few years, it's been the Amazon exploding in that area,
right,
and Uline exploding in that area. What's it going to look like by 2035?
It's a really fascinating development, and I think it is a really encouraging, you know, business news story.
Yeah,
that it's huge. It's a huge development for the area, and I think it's going to have a lot of these ramifications for housing, for bringing new people to the area, for just like the overall economic development of the state. And I think that corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago, there's still untapped potential there in a lot of different ways.
I just worry that Governor Evers isn't going to get any credit for it.
Yeah.
He's just not that showy and he's not that braggadocious. And I just don't see him standing with a golden shovel in front of, you know, the Eli Lilly facility going, look at what I did. I just don't, he's not that kind of a guy.
No.
Do you think he needs to have like a more of, but, like this, these theatrics involved?
No, but I would just like to make sure that he's going to get some credit for this.
Yeah.
In the history books.
He will in the history books. He will, but you can't make him do it either.
He would be so unnatural with that. It would be terrible.
Well, he's going to get out there. He's going to tell everybody how he's jazzed as hell about the...
Oh, shucks, it's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. G. Willikers.
Yeah. Quickly, we got about 2 minutes left in. What are Ben Wickler's chances? He's got some competition for the head of the DNC.
Yeah, it made it official that he's, you know, running for DNC chair. I think he's got a decent chance. I think he does have a decent chance of winning this race for DNC chair. The vote is on February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then, of course. But, considering some of the other candidates who've jumped into this and some of the support that you're seeing for Wickler from, like, across the political spectrum, you have, kind of centrists and progressives all kind of lining up behind his bid here. And I think he would really do a terrific job.
I think
this.
So, too.
And I think some of the other candidates have been kind of having a little bit more traditional, old school type of, I don't know, I guess you call it a campaign, I guess, for what's going on here. Ken Martin from Minnesota. You know, I haven't really been all that impressed. It just seems like a lot of more of the same. I think Ben Wickler would really be able to have the opportunity to transform the DNC as an organization and connect it to state parties in the way that he's done in Wisconsin and be that voice to push back against Trump.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is fabulous. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Thanks, I'll Pass edition. There will be a visual component we will add in the show notes. You have to see it almost to appreciate it.
It is disgusting.
It is something that is coming up in just a little bit. Right now, though, very excited to be joined by Lori Leshman. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Was absolutely correct.
Was that good?
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Yes.
A Waukesha South band booster. I'm so happy you're here, Lori. I got your press release.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is happening tomorrow at Waukesha South. And
correct.
This is the Waukesha South Cookie Walk.
Yeah, it's somewhat of an annual tradition now. It started a few years back as a fundraiser for our band program, and it's kind of grown a little bit into something that we're trying to promote more as not just a cookie walk, but a community event. You know, the kids can come and watch Santa, or, you know, sit on Santa's lap, and parents can take pictures. We have like little crafts for the kids to work on and take home with them. And our band plays, you know, some jazz holiday music. And it's just a day of a lot of, you know, holiday fun and energy in the school, because next door to the cafeteria where we have the cookie walk going on, we have a huge wrestling invitational that our wrestling team puts on. So the school is just bustling with, you know, tons of people, and you know, good food and holiday cheer. And it's just, you know, it's a fun, exciting time. And we just like to promote what's going on so the community is aware and can come and join us.
Just to clarify, the Wrestling Invitational is not an invitation for you to come and wrestle the wrestlers.
That is correct.
Oh,
you know, you have to
mind.
Be... Yes, sorry about that, but you can certainly come and cheer them on. We would be happy to invite you in to do that. We've got wrestling teams from all over. Actually, the ladies are wrestling tonight.
Nice.
For the women's wrestling is growing by leaps and bounds all across the country. And then tomorrow is all the men's wrestling. Schools from all over will be there, and when they get hungry,
fun.
Then they. Yeah. We've kind of, like I said, we started this a few years ago and we've sort of morphed it into this. And actually the wrestling coach kind of coined the term, sweets and meats the other day. So that might be our name going forward. So
that's good. That works.
Yeah.
That absolutely works.
Absolutely.
So how does the cookie walk work?
So, lean heavily on our school community, our black shirt families, and, you know, even the Waukesha community at large to make donations of home baked cookies. We could not do this without them. We totally appreciate their support. So those donations will be coming in tonight, and then we are going to organize and set everything out tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. And we have containers available, and then it's priced by the pound. So the guests who come to the cookie walk can make their, you know, they can walk through and select the cookies that they want and add them to their container. We're planning to have little scales around so you can, you know, check your weight as you go and see how close you're getting to your dollar limit.
Right.
But this year we're also going to have credit card payments. So if you go a little over, it's not the end of the world. And so, you know, you just get to basically make your own selection of holiday cookies and take them home with you, and you don't have to bake them yourself, which, you know, for me, that's a huge plus.
That's a big thing.
I'm not a big fan of baking, but I am a big fan of eating cookies.
Yeah.
So, and it's 10 bucks a pound?
$10 a pound.
What am I doing here right now?
Well, because we don't have them ready, but you can come over and join us tomorrow.
Okay.
We're also going to have, you know, a few beverages available for sale. So if folks just want to, you know, sample their cookies before they leave and have a cup of cocoa and listen to the band or watch the kids at, filing up to sit on Santa's lap, you know, they can do that too. So.
And this is from 9 to 1 tomorrow.
It's from 9 to 1. But if you're the diehard cookie walk buyers are there before we open because they want the best selection. And that the first time I worked one of these cookie walks, I was like, wow, these people are really hardcore.
Serious?
But if you do want the best selection, you do have to come early. Mm. So
boy, that's got to be hurt. Right. You're I would be the last baker. I would be the baker who still has 47 cookies left because everybody else took the good cookies.
Why are you doing that right now?
Because how it would go.
And your biggest mistake was because you put coconut in it, and coconut's the worst. So.
How many bakers do you have who take part in this, Lori?
You know, I don't have a count. We've had a sign-up genius going for a few weeks now. We actually get a lot of high schoolers who donate because we're offering volunteer hours to the students who donate cookies, you know, because that's, it takes time to bake cookies. So that's kind of a big plus for them. And so we get a lot of, they call it family and consumer education, classes now in the high schools, you know, they put it into their curriculum. So at least at South they do. And, Waukesha East as well, where, you know, they just spend a day making cookies for us and they donate them and drop them off. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about, you know, having sweets for your holiday festivities, but it's just a nice way for us all to kind of work on something positive together and, you know, support the band program.
If you're just joining us, Lori Leshman is our guest. She is a Waukesha South band booster, and we're talking about the Waukesha South Cookie Walk that is happening tomorrow from 9 to 1. But as Lori just said, if you want the primo cookies, you better get there early. Just saying, don't leave it to chance. You want to get in the line early
and be respectful in those lines.
That's no pushing.
That's right.
No
That's
pushing.
Right. We haven't had any. We
incidents?
Haven't had any incidents. Everybody's been, you know, very well behaved.
Good.
But those who are in the know.
I'll make you an offer, Lori. I'll make you an offer. I've got the morning off tomorrow. I can come be the muscle. I can take care of any naysayers and ne'er-do-wells in the line. All I charge is one bag of good cookies. I'll even pay for them because it's a good cause. But I'll help. I'm here for you. You're welcome.
He'll be your visual deterrent if you need one.
Well, we don't want to deter people from coming in.
Just into behaving nicely. Just to be nice.
That's right.
What does the money from the cookie walk, where does that go? What does that money do?
So, as you know, music in schools is often one of those functions that when funding has to drop, music is unfortunately one of those that does. Yeah. So the band boosters, we support a lot of the, I don't want to say they're extras because it's a lot of stuff that's important to keeping the kids engaged in a music program at school. So that's everything from uniforms for the marching band to repairs on the instruments in the classroom. We do bring in outside help to provide detailed instruction on certain instruments during some of the band classes. When we go to parades or competitions, we need transportation through buses, so we pay for those types of things. Some of the outreach that we do with the middle schools, again, it takes time away from the classroom and we need transportation to do those things. So, it's all just a lot of these little things that add up that, the schools and the band director just they need extra money to do these things. So we're there to kind of fill the gap. We're not unique in that regard. Schools all over have, whether it's fine arts boosters, band boosters, we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. And that is to just keep music alive and well in our schools, in our public schools.
Well, and I think anybody who is either in a choir or a band understands just how valuable music is. It teaches mathematical skills. It teaches discipline. There's so much involved in it as opposed to just making a beautiful sound. I mean, that's a wonderful thing too, but were you a member of the band at one point, Lori?
So interestingly, no, I wasn't. I played piano as a young kid, but I didn't take it any further than that. My husband and all of my kids have all been very active in music though. And I guess I just kind of jumped on the bandwagon and wanted to do my part to kind of support it and help it. I have three children who've all gone through the music program at Waukesha South. My oldest was in orchestra and she played violin for 4 years. And now my last two, my oldest is a senior who she's very multi-musical. She started out in orchestra playing cello and she added percussion to her repertoire and came into band her freshman year and became a drum major. And she kind of plays a lot of different things, but percussion is kind of her big thing in the band program. And then my youngest surprised us all and decided that tuba was his thing. So he's out there playing the tuba.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yep. The world needs more tuba players.
That's right. That's right.
You get an upper body workout from just hauling that thing.
He is. And he started in sixth grade on the baritone, which if you're not familiar with music, it's sort of like a miniature version of a tuba. And in seventh grade, his teacher just said, why don't you give this a try? And so he started playing the tuba in the classroom. And he was just kind of like, this is it. This is for me. And at the time, I mean, he was a little seventh grader. He was not a big boy.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, I don't know how this is going to work. Because, I mean, the tuba is about as big as he is. But fortunately, over the last year, now as a freshman, he's really shot up in height. And he's getting to be a stronger kid. So it's like, I think it's all going to work out.
He's growing into his tuba.
Yeah.
We're talking to Lori Leshman about the Waukesha South cookie walk that is happening tomorrow from 9 until 1. I think that's so wonderful that all your kids are musical. It's a gift that stays with you forever.
Yeah. It does. It absolutely does. And the South Band Program has, been a longstanding tradition. And We just, you know, want to do all we can to kind of help keep it going and just keep the music alive in our schools. And, you know, also make sure that the younger generations are getting the itch to, you know, try it out and continue with it as well. So we do things like cookie walks and other fundraisers to just, you know, help keep it going.
I'm a graduate of Waukesha High School as well. And I was in band and I was in theater. And I think one of the things too, we should talk about as far as being a part is those skills of learning, but also the friends you make in those groups are friends that you can keep for the rest of your life. They're the guy, they're the guys and the individuals who say, hey, let's start a band. Let's do this. And in the case of your middle child, I mean, they're developing skills that are employable because, I mean, I'm not saying that your kid's going to go off and join a rock band, but like there are bands out there who hire multi-instrumentalists who can play a little bit of everything to cover these notes. And that is a skill worth having, especially nowadays.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially I can certainly say for my daughter, my middle child, I mean, music is like I'm struggling for the right word, but it's sort of like it's her go-to. It's not just a hobby, but it's really a passion. It's just really part of who she is. And to just have that always as a lifelong skill, I think it's just a wonderful gift to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lori Leshman is a Waukesha South band booster. They've got the containers. All you need is a little money. Join them for tomorrow's Waukesha South Cookie Walk from 9 to 1. Get there early if you want the good stuff. I hope it's a huge success, Lori. Thank you so very much for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and thank you for having us.
You bet.
We appreciate the time.
Coming up next, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Thanks, El Pass Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad if they're all gone before she gets the icing put on. She'll do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Now there's a benefit to all of this that you might have overlooked or missed. So now let me tell you the best part of it all. Every time she sticks another batch in the oven, there's 15 minutes for some kissing and a hugging. That's why I eat Christmas cookies all year long. Oh, take it away, boys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio live at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin.
At Putz de Leon.
We're asking for your help for a little special we'd like to do on New Year's Eve Day. We want to do a best of This Shouldn't Be a Things. You can send your favorites to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you're not sure, because we've been doing this for a couple of months, there's a lot of them. You can always find all of the Tisbets at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Click on Matt Nair on Air.
Click on Shows.
Click on Shows, then click on Matt Nair on Air. Yeah. And there will be a little icon in the right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. It's us.
It's us. It's a picture of us with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. And if you click on that, that will take you to all of the previous ones. So if you have a favorite that you would like us to rehash on New Year's Eve Day, please send that in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. It is 11:53. That means it is time, Kelvin, for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Want to give credit to Cardi.
Cardi Glisper.
Cardi Glisper, who is a producer. He produces Maggie Dawn's show from 2 to 4 o'clock. He found this, and we wanted to share it with you. headline reads, from Wide Open Country, scientists are 3D printing steak. And I have to question whether science has gone too far. Cardi also found it on Instagram. 3D printed steaks and fish fillets are already selling in several different countries, making its way to the U.S. after the FDA and USDA approved. These high-tech plant-based creations are designed to mimic real meat. In Germany, they're already selling in supermarkets for the same as a traditional cut of meat.
Gross.
And I think that's part of what the problem is the visual.
Yes.
It looks not good.
It looks like, I don't even know how to describe it. Well, here's the thing is, I don't have to describe it. In the show notes today, there will be both the story and the Instagram video that Cardi sent us. It looks like, you ever see like a sweater and like, let's say your grandma made you a sweater and she decided, well, you know, Jane loves steak. So I'm going to knit a little steak to put on there. That's what it looks like. It looks like meat made of yarn.
It sort of does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using soy pea protein, chickpeas, beetroot, nutritional yeast, and coconut fat. They are aiming to redefine steak using a 3D printer. They squirt out lines of the reconstituted product. And that just, that, and they squirt out lines of the reconstituted product and compress it into a steak shape. They claim the 3D printed steak tastes, smells, and feels just like the real deal. According to this author from Wide Open Country, he says, to me, it looks like something out of a John Carpenter film.
I did use the word horrifying in the show notes today.
Yeah, it does not look appealing. But Israel-based startup Redefine Meat is sticking with it. They plan to become the biggest meat, in quotation marks, distributor in the world. Apparently, there's a big market for this.
Like the picture of the product on the Wide Open Country article we're using, it just looks like a pile of string of
like silly
beige,
string.
Yeah.
Like silly string.
Beige wet string.
And then apparently they used dyes, right, to make it look meat like. But Marco Pierre White is a celebrity chef and says, quote, I took three of my meat eating friends last week. We all ordered plant-based steaks. We were all completely blown away. I highly, highly recommend getting down there and experiencing this for yourself.
See, okay, so that's where I have a bit of a problem, is that I understand it's not meat, but don't call it plant-based either. Call it, because to me, plant-based is like, I go to the store, I buy something that's plant-based. It is processed, but it's shaped to look different. This is 3D printed food. It should not even be called plant-based. It should just be called
printed food.
Yeah. And by the way, this celebrity chef, he also should have added, and by the way, the check clear from the people who are paying me to say this.
That might be a little part of it. Yeah. Well, you can check it out yourself. It's in the show notes.
Yep, you're
Take
welcome.
I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about this, though, as I do about eating actual meat. I don't want to know the process before it gets to my plate.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion.
Right?
And I've been a vegetarian, a vegan, and a meat eater, and there's a lot to deal with. A
lot of conflicts there.
A lot of conflicts, yes, indeed. But this is just one where if you said, hey, it's printed on a 3D printer, I'm like, can we close you down for health code violations?
Take a look for yourself. Let us know what you think. Let us know if this will make it into the Tisbat Best Of. That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, very much looking forward to talking to Heather Dubois-Bournam.
Mm-hmm.
I just like saying her name.
Yeah, it's very fancy sounding.
We're going to talk about education.
Yes. Yes.
Pete Schwabba will be here at 11:06. Really nice article about him in the Cap Times.
Such a good guy.
He's a celebrity.
I know.
So that's all coming up on Monday. I hope you can join us. News coming up next, followed by Todd, Maggie, Dom, and Pete. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.